with the washing of water by the word. Hallelujah. That he might present her to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own body. He who loves his wife loves himself. Well, I went further than I meant to. We'll just stop right there. The point I'm now, if I was doing a marriage seminar or something, we would read on. But my focus tonight is on Jesus Christ and the church. Now, the marriage, of course, should be patterned after Jesus Christ and the church. Amen. And husbands should love their wives. Amen.
Amen.
And wives should honor their husbands. Amen. Husbands should love their wives. Wives should honor, which includes loving their husbands. And now, I'm not going to get off on that because it'll take too much time, but I will say this much. Marriages are in trouble today and in the time that we are living in. And because in God's eyes, marriage is a holy thing. It is a holy thing. And anything that is holy, anything that is righteous, guess what? The forces of darkness are going to come out against it. They're going to try to attack it. They're going to try to pervert it, whatever they can do. But if we will conduct our marriages in line with the word of God, we'll be all right. We can handle any storm that we face. Somebody say amen. We can handle any storm that we face. Now let's go to the church. Same thing. You know, when we are in fellowship with the Lord and walking with him, we can handle any storm that comes down the pipe. Amen. May not always be comfortable, but we ought to have this assurance. I can handle this through Christ Jesus. I can handle this through Christ Jesus. Amen. Because he's on my side. He is for me. And he wants us to know that he is in love with us. Praise the name of the Lord. Are you still here? Now, having read Ephesians chapter 5, I want you to go backwards to the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, the 16th chapter. Matthew, the 16th chapter. Matthew, the 16th chapter. Now, I'll begin reading the 13th verse. It says, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Now, don't that sound like some of the folk in the church today? Some folks that go to church today really don't know who he is. Hallelujah. So, verse 15, he said to them, but who do you say that I am? And it's important that we know him for ourselves. Did you hear me? It's important that we know him for ourselves. Hallelujah. Simon Peter, verse 16. Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Oh, glory to God. Let me read that again. I like that. Peter said, answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock." Now, when he was saying, telling Peter, "You are Peter," he wasn't saying that anything is built on Peter. Now, Peter means rock. You might say small rock, piece of rock. But Jesus was saying, let's look at it. Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven." Now, put verse 18 on the screen for me, please. Verse 18, hallelujah. All right, here we go. "And I also say to you that you are Peter, small rock, and on this rock," gigantic rock, Petra, gigantic rock. He said, "On this rock, I will do what?" He said he'd do what? Who's going to build it? Amen. He says, on this rock, this revelation, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades or the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Hallelujah. Now that should make you feel pretty good right there. If you are a member of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting him, walking in faith, abiding by his word, you're going to make it. We're going to make it. Hallelujah. We have a promise. We're going to make it. We're going to come out of this thing like shining gold. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. So Jesus said, I'm going to build my church. And I told you last week, Jesus loves his church. Amen. Hallelujah. And we won't go back there, but Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17, it talks about us knowing the will of God, you know, not being unwise, but know what the will of God is. And by the way, the will of God for us as the church, his church, is to be victorious, to live in victory. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, We talked about this also, and this is found in the first chapter of the book of Revelation, and I'll go ahead and turn over there, and you can too. But and I won't read the first chapter again. I did last week, but the church is referred to as a candlestick. In the King James Bible, it's referred to as a candlestick, but really what it's talking about is a lampstand, something that gives light. How many of you know our church should be the light of this community, and not just this community, but wherever we have the privilege of shining, we need to shine bright for the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you here? Amen. So he pointed out that the church is known as the lampstand, and of course, we should shine, as I said earlier, so that the world can see Jesus. Beginning with our own household, on our jobs, in the community, and wherever else we have an opportunity to shine, we should shine for Him. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, Jesus told the Apostle John to write, didn't he? He told him to write. In verse, I believe it is 19, let me look and see. Yes, verse 19, first chapter. Jesus told him, he said, write the things which you have seen and the things which are, now hear this, write the things which you have seen and the things which are and the things which will take place after this. Hallelujah. Things that you see, things that are, and things that's going to take place in the future. He told him to write. And he told him to write to these churches, the seven churches in Asia. And I don't know if John understood this. He probably did, but I don't know if he understood this. But really, Jesus was having him to write to the entire church, the body of Christ. We have the book of Revelation available to us right now, and we can read. And guess what? Everything that John wrote about, many of the things that he wrote about, have not yet happened. They're going to. They're going to. Praise the name of the Lord. But the church must be in a position to please the Lord. I want to say this to you. Well, I don't want to get ahead of myself. We get here. Look at verse 1 of chapter 2 of book of Revelation. It says, to the angel of the church of Ephesus write. You see that? He told him to write. To the angel of the church of Ephesus write. Now, I don't want to go over everything I went over last week. But after going through the scripture and comparing verse to verse, verses with other verses, other scripture references, I believe in this case that when he says to the angel of the church of Ephesus and the other six churches, he was writing to the pastors or the leaders of those churches. And remember, I told you that the word angel in the Greek is angelos. And that word angelos can apply to both angels and human beings. because the meaning of the word angelos or angel in this case is messenger. 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 And we talked about last week the fact that God don't need John to write to an angel so that the angel can go back and tell the church. No, he's writing to the messengers of these churches so that these messengers, which I believe are the pastors, can relay the same message to their congregation, because he's writing to the church. So they are to relay these messages to the church. I really believe that every church have an angel that's been assigned to it. I happen to believe that. I know each one of us individually have angels. Amen. Praise the name. Aren't you glad about that? We can't see him, but we know he's there. Hallelujah. And if I can say this while I'm on that subject, we shouldn't even try to see him. You don't ever need to pray to see an angel. Let me say that again. That might sound a little strange, but I'm going to say it anyway. You don't ever need to pray to see an angel. Angels are servants and messengers and on and on. They are there to do God's work on our behalf. Amen. And I believe, who was it, John, that knelt before an angel? Get up! You don't worship me, you worship God. And brothers and sisters, that's who we are to worship, and that's who we are to seek after. It's God. Now, what about angels? If it's God's will for you to see an angel, you'll see it. Because many angels have been seen. And there's a good, can I say this while I'm on this subject? There's a good possibility that each one of you that's sitting here, that's walking with the Lord, at some point in time have seen one, but you didn't know it was an angel. Who is it in Hebrews? It tells us, don't be forgetful to entertain strangers, because some have entertained angels unaware. Angels were present and they didn't even know it. And there are folks with testimonies. You might have one of something that happened and an individual didn't look like an angel, just looked like a person, was there, and all of a sudden they weren't anymore. They helped you or got you out of a fix or something, and they were no longer there. I want to tell you something. The angels are at work in this earth. Amen. But we shouldn't be trying to see them. Just serve God. And if you happen to see one, give God the praise for it. You hear me? I said, if you happen to see one, you just give God the praise. Don't worship the angel, worship God. Hallelujah. Are you still here? So we all have a guardian angel watching over us. So in verse 1, again, it says, to the angel of the church of Ephesus write. These things says he who hold the seven stars in his right hand. You see that? Now, if you remember back in chapter 1, It tells us that Jesus holds the seven stars and that the seven stars are the angels of the churches, which then tells us that Jesus holds the pastors in his hand. Are you still here? Which brings me to this point. Being a pastor is a very serious thing. It's nothing to play with. You hear me? I said, being a pastor is nothing to play with. You need to honor your pastors. Amen. And respect them. And of course, pastors should respect their congregation. Amen. Y'all still with me? When the Bible talks about God's right hand, it's referring to strength and power. And that should be enough for any wavering pastor to straighten up and fly right. I think about this sometime. I'm going to have to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ one day, and I'm going to have to give an account to him for my service to you, how I pastored you. And that's a humbling thing. Will y'all be there to watch it? I don't know. You might. But I'm going to have to give it, and every other pastor. And of course, all of us going to have to stand before him and give an account to him for our service while we're here on the earth. But I want him to say to me, I want him to say to me, sis, son, you did good. You led them right. That's what I want to hear him say. And I know you want to hear him say the same thing about your service to him. Am I right? Amen. I want him to say that. I'm talking about the chief shepherd of the church. That's what Peter called him. Jesus Christ is the chief shepherd that holds the stars, the pastors, in his right hand. He is the chief shepherd. Therefore, if he is the chief shepherd, then the under shepherds need to be doing the will of the chief shepherd. The chief shepherd is the one that's calling the shots. Amen. What does Psalm 23 say? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want, or I shall not lack. He is our chief shepherd. I am an under shepherd. But as an under shepherd, this is what I need from you. I need you to work with me. I need your prayers. I'll take what I can get. Let me say that again. I need your prayers. Amen. Yeah, I need your prayers. Praise God. And I want you to know I pray for you as well. I pray for you as well. And I should be doing that. Amen. That's just what I should be doing. Just like we all should be praying for one another. Are you still here?
Yeah.
Glory be to God. In Jeremiah chapter 3, put it on the screen for me. I'm trying to speed this up a little bit. Jeremiah chapter 3, 15th verse. Jeremiah 3, 15. Jeremiah 3, 15. And this is what God says. And I will give you shepherd. Now, the New King James says shepherd. The King James says pastors. Okay? And that's shepherd, pastors, same thing. And I will give you shepherds according to my heart, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. You see that? Let me read to you again. And I will give you shepherds according to my heart, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. Feed you with what? Say again. Which means they are feeding you the what?
Word of God.
The Word of God. The Word of God. Now, turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Are y'all getting anything out of this yet?
Yeah.
Ephesians chapter 4. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Let me see where I want to pick this up. I'll just pick it up at verse 9. I think. I'll just pick it up at verse 7. To each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended. What does it mean that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. That's our Lord. Hallelujah. And he himself, now I want you to see this. Now, remember Jeremiah, right? Okay, look at verse 11. And he himself gave some. You see that? And he himself gave some. And we'll talk more about this later on, but I want to make this point. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some what? Pastors and teachers. So, if you want to go into ministry, do you go and spin a wheel and wherever it stops, that's the office you're going to function in? No, it don't work that way. It says he gave. He gave. And when he gave, the anointing to stand in that office comes with the giving. Amen? Now, don't get me wrong. You can become more anointed while you're in that office by spending time with God, spending time in the Word of God. But the anointing comes with the call. And he gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Hallelujah. And pastors, by the way, should be able to teach. Hallelujah. Every pastor should be able to teach the Word of God to their flock. All right, real quick, just a few more minutes. So he says, he holds the seven stars. This is verse 1, chapter 2, Revelation. He holds the seven stars in his right hand, and it says, who walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I want you to know, and I've told you this before, Jesus is in our midst. Remember I told you last week? He said, even where two or three are gathered together in his name, there he is in the midst of them. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
Amen. Just lift your hand and say, welcome, Lord Jesus. Now let me go on. He says, I know your works. This is verse 2. I know your works. Now, let's stop right there just for a moment. And let's, now he's speaking to the book of Ephesus, I mean to the church at Ephesus here, but let's look at the Church of Word of Life in Charlotte, South Carolina. Jesus would tell us the same thing. I know your works. I know what you're doing good, and I know what you need to improve on. And I heard a pastor friend of mine say this, and you probably heard him say it too. The biggest room in our house is the room for improvement. Amen. We are not perfect yet. He knows our strengths, and he knows our weaknesses. So he says, I know your works, your labor, your patience. So the Ephesian church was doing some good things. The church of Ephesus was doing some good things. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. Glory to God. The church at Ephesus, they didn't tolerate mess. They didn't put up with mess like some churches do today. Just to increase the numbers. Just to increase the attendance. So that the offering will be bigger. I mean, I think every pastor wants a big offering, but it shouldn't be. I mean, you shouldn't be willing to do anything for that to happen. Teach and preach the word of God and seek God. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil, and you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. Oh, there's so much more I could say about that, but I'm getting ready to let you go. But I want to say this to you. The book of Revelation is concerning the last days. And the last days began when the church began. But now we are in the last of the last days. Are you hearing me? Amen. I don't know if we'll get there or not. We may. But Paul, speaking to Timothy, and by the way, I didn't tell you this, I meant to, but Timothy was the pastor there at Ephesus. Amen. Timothy was the pastor there at Ephesus. There were other pastors as well, but Timothy pastored at the church there in Ephesus, which was a large church, a prospering church. And Paul wrote to Timothy in the letters to him about the last days and what would be happening in the last days. False teachers, false prophets, false apostles, false everything. Anything that the devil can send at you to get you away from the Word of God and turned away from the things of God. I'm just thinking how to say this. It's easy for us to lose our focus on the things of God and what God really wants, and put our focus on what makes us feel good. You're still here? Things that make us feel good. There are some things, hear me, there are some things I'm not going to do as long as I'm pastor of this church just to attract people. Now, I won't say that again. There are some things I'm not going to do while I'm pastoring this church just to attract people. Amen. I want people. I want every seat filled. I want folks coming to hear the Word of God. I want folks coming in here hungry for Jesus. Hungry for more of God. But I do not want them coming in here just to get their flesh tickled. You hear me? We don't have to become carnal to win the lost. We don't have to become worldly to win the lost. If we'll do what the Bible says, we'll win the lost. If we, let me say that again. If we'll do what the Bible says, we'll win the lost. But when we open ourselves up to some things, then you open yourself up to error. And now you got all this strange stuff going on. It's called strange fire. Strange fire. It's attractive to the eye. It feels good to the flesh. It sounds good to our ears, but it's not of God. I think I'm going to stay over here. I'm hearing some amens over here. y'all with me?
Amen.
Hallelujah. We need to be hungry for God. You shouldn't come to church just to get a prophecy. Some folks are running after prophecies and they hadn't done the last 100 that was prophesied to them. 100 things. Yeah. Thank God for prophets. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen, brother. Yeah. Thank God for prophets. But if all you want is a prophecy then you're not going to last very long because you're not going to do what they tell you anyway. No, you should be hungry after the word. And then if the gifts of the Spirit or whatever begin to operate, thank God for that. But be hungry for God. The Bible tells us that signs and wonders follow the word of God. Amen. Be hungry for the word. So, we're living in the last days. We got to be sharp. We got to be sharp. We got to be very careful about what we hear. Know the word of God. That way, if something is not of God, you recognize it right away. Amen. If it's strange fire, you recognize it. Amen. Are you still here? Amen. Hallelujah. And these folks in the church at Ephesus, I mean, they were sharp and they recognized, these guys calling themselves apostles, they're liars. They're not apostles. We know what apostles are. We've been in the Word of God. We know how to recognize the apostolic anointing. Amen. Just because they say it don't mean it's so. And we got a lot of folks that are apostling that are not apostles. I can say I'm a refined stallion and go stay in a stable, but it don't make me a horse. Amen. I can say what I want to. I am what I am, and that by the grace of God. Amen. I'm going to let you go. Are you following me tonight? Are you with me on this? Yes. Hallelujah. This church, now they had some issues. We'll talk about them a different time, another time. They had some issues, but they were sharp. You didn't come in there and say, oh, I'm apostle such and such, or I'm prophet such and such, I'm this, I'm that, I'm, but man, they knew how to, they were sharp. And Jesus commended them for that, for their good works. But he also talks about what needs to be improved. Now I'm closing on this one. We love to hear about what we're doing good, don't we? And as soon as you finish telling me about how good I am, go ahead and close the service because I don't want to hear anymore. Give us the benediction. We've done now. You told me the Lord loves me, and you told me all these, oh, hallelujah, Shonda. He's going to bless me financially, and he's going to do this for me, and he's going to do that for me. Thank you, sir. Let's go home. Because if you tell me anything else I don't want to hear, I ain't coming back to church. Find me another church that's going to tickle my ears and tell me what I want to hear. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Stretch your hands towards me. Every one of you, stretch your hands towards me. And say out loud, don't whisper. Say, bless him, Lord.
Bless the Lord.
Amen. Thank you. Father, we thank you for your word. And your word would never ever return to you void. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. I want to say to those that are here, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he loves you and he's waiting on you. You're not waiting on him. All you need to do right now take up residence in your heart. He will become your Lord and Savior if you will receive him right now by faith. Just receive him by faith. Pray this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I receive you.